Within one's heart. He certainly. Abhadrani. Desire to enjoy metta. Vidhunoti. Cleanses. Surit. Benefactor. Of the truthful. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Messages, this is now the purport. Messages of the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna are non-different from him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental swuk, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastaka declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that he has endowed his innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound. But unfortunately, we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. We have already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. This is a very nice linguistic expression of Srila Prabhupada, who is extremely wonderful the way it... The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord, and has thus become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Shri Krishna, helps in all respects. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desire to lord it over material nature. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. Woman and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. Many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord gradually, he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances. And gradually, all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Bhaskacharya Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadara Sivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Please let me just remove a visitor from the forest. Be brought back to the forest, otherwise we can throw him out the window. Otherwise we trample on him. The verse of today is Shinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantasto Hyabhadrani Vidhunoti Suritsatam. The translation. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. In this verse, a very interesting and important understanding is brought before us. That is, that we can get the proof of God's existence by hearing about him. Because if we hear about him, Krishna enters actively into our life. Just 1.5 weeks ago, I was engaged in a fierce battle with an atheistic professor of religious science. And I told him, I can't imagine how you can teach religious science while at the same time being an atheist. And he told me the following. I will explain to you. So, with his explanation, I want to wake up my morning audience. I will challenge your faith and beliefs, and you will have to hear the challenge of the religious sciences. I said, the position of an atheist is a position of ignorance. Even a simple housewife who cuts a tomato can understand when studying the tomato that God is, that there must be a God, because the tomato could not have come by chance. If you look at the seeds and the veins going through the tomato, you can see that there is a design. And wherever there is a design, there must be a designer. This argument has been made yesterday by His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj, who spoke about the Big Bang Building Company. I think you remember. It's an argument which has been in the Western it's got Western philosophy being called the argument by order. Kant made this argument also to prove the existence of God. It's one of the six classical proofs of God's existence in Western philosophy. So, I said, even a simple housewife, when studying a tomato, will be able to understand there must be a creator behind it. The professor said, no, I will tell you a story. Not long ago, there were two travelers who came into a wild forest and happened to come upon a beautifully designed garden. The first traveler said, there must be a gardener here, because the garden is so beautifully designed. The second traveler said, no, it happened by chance. At this, the first traveler said, no, there must be a garden. Let us, a gardener, let us wait. In a few hours, he will come and he will pour water on the flowers and take the weeds out. They waited for one day. No gardener came. They waited for a whole week. No gardener came. At this, the second traveler said, ha! I have proved the non-existence of the gardener. No, said the first traveler. The gardener only comes in the night. Let us wait for the night time to come. So they were watching in the night. But again, no gardener came. Not even after 1 week. Do you understand the point? Asked the professor. No, I said. So, the story continues. He said, the first gardener, the first traveler said, this gardener is very small. We cannot see it so easily. Let us study very carefully. They got a dog, so that the dog would be able to sniff the small little gardener who was coming to take care of the garden. But again, no success. The story continues and continues and continues over centuries. It is a story of the poor religious fanatic who waits for God. Have you seen God? He asked me. Have you any sound proof to offer for God? Your God has died the death of so many qualifications. This is the sad story of all your religious people. You make a complicated explanation, but you have not seen the gardener. You say, well, here and here and here. This qualification, that qualification, that qualification. But he has never appeared to you. Be honest. Give up your religious fanaticism. This is what the atheistic professor said. It's not my opinion. It's the opinion of, I don't know how much percent of the people. Once an atheistic journalist asked Srila Prabhupada a similar challenge. He said, can you show me God? And Prabhupada said, yes. This journalist was becoming very serene and serious. He sat down on the chair, tightening his tie and getting ready for the mystic explosion. But Prabhupada smiled at him as he sat expectantly on his chair and said, "First, you have to become qualified like them." And he pointed at the devotees. So, Krishna, this is a statement which we often hear in lectures. We should not be eager to see God, but we should work in such a way that we are qualified. In this verse, it is described how we should work at becoming qualified and how God realization for a truthful devotee, this is made here, this truthful devotee, a sincere devotee, is not such a difficult thing. It says, I want to repeat it again, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtues when properly heard and chanted. In other words, Krishna, when he sees that a devotee wants to know him, helps the devotee by personally removing the dirty coverings which cover the devotee. Yesterday, Sarva Bhavana Prabhu told us that when the heart is covered with anattas, we will be distanced from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord himself, when he sees there is a little interest in his devotee to hear about him, to come closer to him, then he personally comes and qualifies the devotee. It is described here that the Lord is more eager that we go back to him than we can desire. Please listen to this wonderful and striking statement of Srila Prabhupada. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. Sometimes when we are in a preaching program and we are late, like always, we very much desire to come to the hall where we have our program. So this desire becomes very eager and we want to hear how to get there. We stop everyone in the street, you know, we put down our window. We asked every taxi driver and every person, tell us a way, fast, fast. We are already late. So when a devotee becomes eager to actually come to Krishna or become Krishna consciousness, the first symptom of this eagerness is that he wants to hear how to do that. He wants to get information from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the amazing thing is that Krishna kindly appears even to those who are not so qualified like us in the form of transcendental sound vibration. Prabhupada writes, whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Now this almost inconceivable subject matter is addressed in many places in the Bhagavatam. One of the most, let me say, clear passages appears in the 7th canto, chapter 4, text. From text 22 onwards. It happened. Let me describe the scenario. Hiranyakashipu was like a universal demon, a universal Al Capone, you know, a real, he really inflicted sufferings upon all and everyone. So when his terror regime became just so heavy and intolerable, the demigods assembled, fearful and disturbed, unable to find any other shelter, and prayed to the Lord. And then the Lord appeared to them in the form of transcendental sound. Then there appeared before them a transcendental sound vibration emanating from a personality not visible to material eyes. The voice was as grave as the sound of a cloud, and it was very encouraging, driving away all strach, all fear. The voice of the Lord vibrated as follows. O best of learned persons, do not fear. I wish all good fortune to you. Become my devotees by hearing and chanting about me and offering me prayers, for these are certainly meant to award benediction to all living entities. I know all about the activities of Hiranyakashipu and shall surely stop them very soon. Please wait patiently until that time. So this is very, very important. Krishna appeared there in the sound of transcendental sound vibration. Just a few days ago, Sava Bhavana gave an interview to that newspaper, and he said, is only what you see real? Oh, we can go back to our story of the gardener. Is only a visible gardener. The gardener only existent if you see him? When Sava Bhavana asked this question, then I just hid behind the door and said, I asked the journalist, see, am I real or not? You cannot see me. Does this mean I'm not existent? Yes or no? My question is, am I real or not? Please do not offend me. I have a big false ego by saying that I'm not real. I didn't say that. But put some humor into the air. Do you get the point? Now, Prabhupada here says a very nice point. The vibration of the Lord's voice appeared in the presence of all the devotees, and although the person vibrating the sound was unseen to them, they were meeting or seeing the Lord, because they were offering prayers and because the vibration of the Lord was present. Contrary to the laws of the material world, there is no difference between seeing the Lord, offering prayers, and hearing the transcendental vibration. Pure devotees, therefore, are fully satisfied by glorifying the Lord. Such glorification is called kirtan. Performing kirtan and hearing the vibration of the sound, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Performing kirtan and hearing the vibration of the sound Hare Krishna is actually seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. One must realize this position, and then one will be able to understand the absolute nature of the Lord's activities. Those who would like to study this text in their private study, it's 7th canto, chapter 4, text 22. And we just read the purport to text number 24 to 25 to 27. I'm sorry. So, now you might say, or the professor might say, okay, you have argued that we do not really only need to see God, especially when we are not qualified, we can't see God, but by hearing the transcendental vibration of the Lord, either the messages of the Lord or His holy name, we have positive contact with Krishna. That's your argument. But when I see, when I am, when there is an existence, at least I must be able to see it by some symptoms. What are the symptoms that God is there in your life? And the example, the thing is given here. The symptoms are given here. If one hears about Krishna, material desires go from the heart. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu told us one time about how he had an experiment with this. He started to chant Hare Krishna when he was not in the temple, because devotees had said so. And after 1 week of chanting every day 8 rounds, he lost his material desires. He became afraid. This is what happens if someone has contact with the transcendental sound vibration of the Lord. The Lord appears orally in the heart of such a person, and the result is that that person becomes changed. He loses his material desires. It is described that by Jiva Goswami, the Lord entering in the heart, Srinvata Svakata Krishna, means he comes there and he takes his lotus toe, his palace, and puts it into the spring of material desires, which is constantly sprudeling in our heart. Sprudeling is a German word, and I think just from the sound vibration you are able to understand what it means. These, I have not found a better word because of lack of proper English and proper language. So this German word will have to do it. These material desires sprudeln in the heart since time immemorial. The sprudel is going on. This is what is carried. Sound vibration sometimes carries images. So sprudeln, I think you can understand what it means. It's sprudelt all the time. So it is going on and on and on and on. Even in Krishna consciousness, this sprudeling of material desires is very, very strong. Now, if one properly hears and chants, the sprudeling will calm down. Philosophers have described that in this age of Kali, the statement that the statement of Chanakya Pandit is reversed. Now it's men are 9 times as lusty as women. Everyone knows this in ISKCON. This is what our ISKCON philosophers are privately saying. Now it's out. I was surprised. I heard it also the first time, but it makes sense. It's a very, very embarrassing subject matter, the spoiling of material desires. Sometimes devotees in the movement for Krishna consciousness are extremely embarrassed because of this, and they take to this counseling by devotees, and the devotees who do counsel sometimes need to be counseled because they hear so many stories of material desires that they this is getting too much for them. Now, sometimes devotees develop a doubt in our philosophy. They say, when I joined the movement for Krishna consciousness, I didn't have such desires. But now, it's almost, it's disturbing. I do have good news for the devotees. This, what you are experiencing in the process of purification is that the material desires which were hidden for so long are coming out. The example, and this means you are getting purified. Something is happening in you. The example has been given of a butter which is melted and transformed into ghee. In this process of melting the butter, the impurities come from the butter and go to the top of the ghee. They have to be taken and thrown out. Krishna consciousness is an intense process of purification. And all of a sudden, when a person gets into this process, he sees how dirty things from within are coming out, and it looks very disturbing. Those of you who have made butter have seen this in their own lives. You take the butter which looks very pure. You know, no one has the idea that the butter is impure in any way. And then you heat it up, and then all of a sudden these dirty particles come, which look like cooked part of a cut-up brain. It looks horrifying. Or like varicose veins, fried in ghee, you know, cut varicose veins. It looks like a witch sabbat, you know, it comes up. If you don't throw it out, it remains there. So when a devotee, even I can guarantee you, if you put a pious Christian girl in the purifying process of Krishna consciousness, she looks so pure. All of a sudden, she will come one day to the Grihastha council and say, "I'm lusty. What to do? I was never lusty before." It happens because the process of Krishna consciousness means you're heated up in the material desires which are there since time immemorial are coming to the surface, and it can become very disturbing. This is how Krishna helps that these desires come. Now, you can do one of two things. One is you can hide it before you and the world. That is dangerous. The other is you can recognize it and throw it away. It is not a problem that material, a wonder that material desires come. Srila Prabhupada says this here in the purport. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth, and we have a lot of this in our movement, is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. This is there. Material desires will, in other words, come up in the process of Krishna consciousness. They will rise to the surface. So a truthful devotee is someone who sees it and who wants to get rid of them, knowing that they are an impediment to Krishna consciousness. But he who is doing kaitava, who is doing cheating of himself and of others, will not be able to recognize these dirty things and throw them away. And after some time, he will become so covered that he is unable to stay in the association of devotees. In Orissa, they tell a joke. Is it Orissa or... I think it's... No, not Orissa. Bengal. Oh, it's Bihar. It was with B, not with O. Was it Bengaluru? You must be there. Somewhere in India. There's a man who sits like this. And they asked him, "Why are you sitting like this?" And he says, "Well, I have to put my head under the shadow of this banyan tree." He's a cheater. He has a boil on the right splitting of his behind. But he doesn't want to admit it. He has to sit like this to not feel the pain. This is called cheating. The boil is on the right splitting of his behind, but he does not admit it because he's cheating. So this is not a truthful person. A truthful devotee may have material desires, but he should not cover them up and say, "Yasam mudrats, I am a saint." He should humbly, you know, he may not blurt it out to the whole world, but he should admit it before himself and before a few trusted Vaishnavas who can help him and tell him the ways and means how to get this. The purifying process, in other words, will only work out successfully as long as we are free from the tendency to cheat. Then the transcendental sound vibration will work. Because by the transcendental sound vibration, just by hearing, something is created which qualifies us to go back home, back to Godhead. Let us turn to the Bhagavad Gita and become startled by a verse of Sri Krishna. Yesham tvantagatam papam yananam punyakarmanam te dvantva muhanirmukta bhajanti mang dritha vrataha. This is such an important verse that I do not want to quote it from memory in English, but read it to you in text. Yesham tvantagatam papam. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful action are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. So have you acted piously in previous life, and in this previous life we don't know, but in this life? No. At least not 16 years. If you joined with 16 years, if you joined with 20 years, you have maybe not acted piously in 20 years. Such people whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, that is really like anatta nivritti, totally free, they engage themselves in determination. You cannot be determined if there are traces of sin. And traces of sin remain for a long time in the heart. It is explained. Imagine the box of camphor. You may remove the camphor outside of the box, but the smell remains for years. You may put the camphor box even in the sun and in the rain for years. the smell continues to stay there. So we may remove meat eating and illicit sexual behavior and gambling from our practice, but the taste of sin will still remain in our mind. Sin is in my heart and in my mind. Yes, the smell, the memory, and it comes when you it comes out you, in form of a very disturbing desires and memories. But if one hears regularly, then a punya is created, a credit is created, and by this credit you can engage in Krishna's devotional service. The hearing is so important, therefore, for a devotee, that if he does not hear, his spiritual life can become deadened. Punya Shravana Kirtana, it is described here. These messages are in themselves virtuous, punya, pious, when properly heard and chanted. Even an unqualified person, in other words, who still has the taste of sin wavering through his mind and heart, he can, in form of memories, if he regularly hears, then he will get this piety which enables him for devotional service. I want to end my lecture with a little story from the Padma Purana, which explains to us just the benefit of hearing, how this piety or this credit is given. Once there was a saint called Bharata, and he was able, it appears in the Gita Mahatmya, he was chanting every day the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So when being on a pilgrimage, he felt tired and he rested. He wanted to take a rest, so he saw two trees there. They were the same height, and he put his head on one tree and his feet on the other. You know, it's resting high with the head and the feet. Now these trees, after the saint left, a short time afterwards, the tree dried out. They died. Why? Well, it is like this. In previous times, these two trees were two heavenly dancing girls who got sent by Indra in order to initiate the fall down of one yogi. That yogi was meditating and becoming powerful, and Indra was afraid. Maybe he wants to become the next Indra. So he sent two dancing girls who danced, and as they danced, the wind carried their clothes away, and their beautifully raised breasts were shaking with the rhythm. So the yogi saw that, and he became just very angry. He said, "Who do you think you are? And who do you think I am? You fools, become trees." The dancing girl said, "Oh, sorry, we were sent, you know, we were not the direct agents. We were sent, and we were following Indra. We are such unauthentic people, we always do what others say to us. Please have mercy on us." And the saint said, "Okay, you will meet the Bharata, who chants the Bhagavad Gita every day. So they became trees, but with Bharata putting his head and legs on them, the trees, they were liberated and became two wonderful Brahmin girls. And they actually met Bharata when he went through Kashi and said, "You saved our life," and explained the whole story to Bharata. This is one of the many things which attest to how this message of the Lord is extremely potent. Srila Prabhupada gave another example. He said, when he was asked about this verse, Yesham Tvantagatam Papam, the devotee said, "We were not pious in this life, Prabhupada, but still we engage in devotional service." Srila Prabhupada said, "I have created your piety." And how this is to be understood, he explained later by saying, "If I would not have come and preached the message of the Bhagavad Gita, nothing would have happened with your Westerners." And Prabhupada told us once when we were in England, written it down, in England we had a problem. We did Sankirtan prison. And we wrote Prabhupada what to do. I mean, this is an awkward situation. Prabhupada said, "They may understand or not. We are forcing them to understand. Continue with your chanting and continue going into jail." In other words, Prabhupada was fully convinced in the power of the holy name, the transcendental sound vibration, as a means to create the adhika or the qualification in someone to actually give up material desires come to Krishna consciousness. But you must be a truthful devotee. Don't be, "I'm here because so much shadow is there in the tree." You know? In other words, we could make a little self-analysis and not stop throwing it out. So that the ghee of Krishna consciousness, pure and transcendental and transparent consciousness, will be there, and that the Lord will appear there. And it is possible, you may say, "Well, I am powerless, these material desires are too strong." And you are correct. On your own, you cannot overcome the force of the material energy. The Krishna says very clearly, "Daivi hesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya." It is very difficult, and it means actually impossible to overcome my energy. But if you hear about Krishna, then Krishna comes in the heart and he personally drives out the material desires. But if you don't want Krishna to help you, then it will be very difficult. Tomorrow we will all travel into our respective places. Some of us will go to temples and to devotional service. Some of us will go to our workplaces. Some of us will go to the house. Some of us will go to our parents. We will all go back from where we came from before we entered this transcendental Vrajabhas village, this spiritual village. If there's something which we can take home with us, it's certainly the experience of being in Kirtan, hearing from the Vaishnavas, and having seen how our heart became lighter. I know that many of you died several deaths during this tour. Some said, "Oh, so many people." Others said, "Oh, the toilet conditions broke my determination." Others had problems with the showers, mosquitoes, and the heavy words of the sadhus cutting our ignorance in the heart, the bombs which exploded in our understandings. For some it was strogost, austerity. This is always there when you are with many devotees. But don't forget the feeling you had when you understood Krishna consciousness in a better way, when you got, when you were dancing in kirtan, like this morning, all the hands were raised to the sky of those who participated in the wonderful kirtan. And understand the principle. We can, something can happen in our hearts. A transformation can take place if we hear the powerful messages of the personality of Godhead who are in themselves virtuous. That means they create the qualification to, for advanced, for Krishna consciousness. Let us take this experience with us to our homes, continue to chant there with greater concentration. Let us read every day the books of Srila Prabhupada with attention. Let us be truthful in our lives with ourselves. And then we will in no time experience the Lord's kind help in the heart. And that will be our proof. We don't need to see the little gardener. We go to the example. Our hearts will be qualified by transcendental sound vibration. He will be, Lord will be present in this way. Take the impurities away so that we become qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. So Hare Krishna, thank you all very much for hearing me patiently. That must have been another difficult thing to and because the English is not so polished. Do you have any questions regarding these subjects? Yes, let us. Yes, Maharaj.
I said that because of His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj's austerities in the jails of UK and having preached to all the policemen while he was in jail very forcefully, calling them chicken eaters and now the situation in the UK is that the police are very, very favorable actually. And generally, they don't harass the devotees at all. I've also spent 3 or 4 days in English jails while doing book distribution there. I remember the first experience, I was walking along with a pack of books and a policeman touched me on the shoulder and said, "You're nicked." "You're nicked, mate." Anyway, I wasn't his mate, but... Now they actually say, "Oh, you're from Hare Krishna. Very good. You're doing good work." They encourage the devotees. So, I was wondering whether... well, I had two questions, actually. One was an insignificant... Well, both are insignificant. One was more insignificant. First one is, you know... What did the professor, I mean, who made the garden? I mean, what was his idea? Nobody made the garden, it just happened. And then other question is, you might, could you tell us what are the 6 classical proofs of God in Western philosophy?
it is amazing that the atheists use this story to disprove God. I mean, who made the garden? I was not even asking this question to him, because his point was, have you seen the gardener? This was really his point. Have you seen the person? And he said, religion is, it's good to give people a value system, but it works like a placebo. Placebo means an illusion is created, and by the illusion, a forceful impact is created. But see, so he said, religion is all right, but there is no God.
When you use an example, there has to be points of similarity. It has to be a practical example.
I agree, but the atheists, they are
have no foods. Brain.
Yeah, they have no brain.
Prabhupada said they have stool for brain.
Well, yeah. It is definitely a fact.
I mean, who made the garden? It's stupid. Can't understand. How do you ever get to be a professor, I guess?
That's a fact. This is how Prabhupada has created such a security in a devotee that he with pain in the heart says, foolish professor, he should be stripped naked and tarred and driven in the crowd. That's a fact. But countless generations of religious people have become challenged by this argument and highly disturbed because they were not secure what to answer. So, I don't want to defend this argument. I even don't know how they would do it, but one could dream up an argument. The six classical proofs in Western philosophy have been written about by. I've read this in Satya Raj's work. The first is the argument which Srila Prabhupada also uses, the argument by order. Prabhupada often he says if the sun rises in the east and always sets in the west, and makes on this level argues on this level. Another argument is it goes very I'm not convinced by this argument, by the way. It goes like this. So many people speak about God, know about God. It cannot be, therefore, an illusion. That's another argument. Third argument is, yes, that's an argument which we find also in the Vedic philosophy, that everything has its cause. There must be an original cause where the causation stops. That's the third argument. And one is an ontological argument, that is, everyone similar to what I said already, this Vox Populi argument, that so many people speak about God. There is an innate need, for perfection in the human being to transcend his state of imperfection, and the standard of perfection is God, actually. They want to become close to God. Even Jean-Paul Sartre has admitted in utter frustration, the human being seems to be condemned to be a religious person. That means striving for some sort of perfection. And Aristoteles, he actually made the point everything in the creation is going towards perfection, improving imperfection. That is also a proof of God. And there are two others, which I have right now, they are not present. But what I can do, Sridhar Maharaj, I could send you this pamphlet and you could read it up. It's interesting to know these arguments. Others who want to know can also give their names and addresses, and I will send. Yes, here was a question. In this verse today, it was said that the messages of Krishna should be chanted properly. What does this mean? It means to chant offenseless. Now, the root cause of offenses, this is explained by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is inattention. So, if you read and chant properly, it means with full attention. The Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education has given help for which we found very practical. When you read Srila Prabhupada's books, you can apply three questions to the texts, and these help you to be attentive while reading. One is, what is said here? What is the information? Second is, how have I read something similar? In other words, you remember or you put the statement into the larger framework of what you have heard previously. That makes you thinking. And the third question is, how does this apply to my life? They have given other questions also about culture and about ISKCON, but these three I found especially helpful in my own reading, and I have informed devotees, and they have applied it with success. Now, in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, a very good way to chant attentively, this was for reading attentively, now hearing, is to before chanting, put yourself into the right frame of mind. Yesterday we heard from our learned speaker that to chant with sambandha jnana, or knowledge about Krishna, is important. So when you chant, you can actually do this by thinking that I'm your part, I'm your fallen servant, my Lord. Please allow me to chant. Please give me the strength to control my restless mind. And this, when you chant as a servant of Krishna, this is very helpful. Ayinanda tanuya. I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please, my dear Lord, pick me up and fix me at the particle of your lotus feet. In other words, if you know I'm glorifying Krishna, then it's easier to be attentive when you're not too tired. Your voice is really the voice of a 5-year-old girl. This is very interesting. I believe, as the Radha Prabhu just told me, his disciple learned Sanskrit in the Sanskrit society in India. And the most amazing thing was that there was a 35-year-old woman scholar delivering a most amazing Sanskrit lecture where she defeated the Advaita viewpoint of Shankaracharya, the scholar. In the 35 years old, she had a body of a 5-year-old girl and looked and spoke. I mean, the voice, not the, I mean, what came out was really learned. There were great pundits who were, you know, amazed. And I'm sorry to say this. You're more than 5 years, isn't it? Envy is a great problem. The envious, it is the cause for us coming here into this world. Enviousness of Krishna manifests in enviousness towards so many living entities. In our Sharanagati seminar, we told the story, and I have to tell it to all of you, because it's a subject which moves also devotee. There was an envious person who, one day, as he was cutting wood in the forest, met a ghost and said, "My dear ghost, please give me everything I asked you for." The ghost said, "Moshe, but I will give your neighbor double as much." So the first thing he asked for was a house. When he came home to the place where his hut stood, he saw a beautiful house and was extremely happy. But his happiness was destroyed when he looked out of the window and saw that where his neighbor had his simple hut was a two-story building. He went back to the forest and said, "My dear Duch, my dear, give me, please give me a 4-story house." "Tatastu." "Be it," said the ghost. He could hardly wait. And when he came home, he raced up and down the staircase, screaming in joyful horripilations, or whatever it's called, mediutum. Then he saw, when he looked out, an 8-story building at the place where his neighbor was. His heart was burning in the flames of enviousness. Then he came back to the saint, to the ghost, after having thought for 1 month, and he said, "Please let me lose one eye." He could hardly wait to go to his neighbor. The pain of his eye was irrelevant for him, because the pain of enviousness was much, much harder to tolerate. And when he looked into the face of his neighbor, he saw the neighbor had lost double as much. He was blind on both eyes. So for a moment he felt happy, but after a while he felt great distress. Enviousness can never make you happy, even if your envious desires are fulfilled. It's self-destructive. It's reactive and not proactive. If I understood that. What is it to you that someone also has something? that someone is recognized by others. Why should it be? You have a good reason to celebrate. You are a devotee. You can engage in devotional service. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that an ant becomes an elephant. In other words, if your capacity is that of an ant, you are as dear to Krishna as if your capacity is like that of an elephant, if you engage what you have in Krishna's service. Krishna is equally pleased. He's not impressed by a bombastic show of this and that. He is impressed by devotion. So Indra still has a problem of enviousness in the heart. It's a big problem. It's a big problem. Yes, the Lord is, well, this is sometimes done. They were associated with Indra. Sometimes when you're associated with the wrong persons, you get it also, unfortunately. They were his supporters. Good, so we have come to a healthy end. It's 10, or natural end, it's 10 minutes past 9. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.